The Bible says that there will be a great apostasy in the church as we approach the last days. So, are we in the final apostasy now? Well, stay with us and find out the answer to this question and many more.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you?
We want to welcome you to another session of our question and answer program with our Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. This program is a ministry of the Through the Bible Radio Network. Getting right to our questions, we begin today's broadcast with this one from a listener in Ontario, California, who writes, "Will there be people who spend an eternity in hell because Christians did not share the gospel with them, when if the Christians had shared their faith, the lost would have been saved? Or put in another way, is the eternal destiny of one person dependent upon the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of another person? How could that be just?"
And may I say, first of all, that I do not believe today, nor could you support it with Scripture, that there are any people anywhere today that are lost because of the selfishness of somebody here at home who has the gospel. That certainly would be unfair and unjust. Now, when you ask the question about will souls have to spend eternity in hell because we Christians did not tell them about Christ, when if we had, they would have been saved. May I say that is not the way to ask that question, because that question cannot be answered. It's sort of like the question that was asked of a man like a Mr. Milquetoast, "Do you still beat your wife?" Well, you can't say yes or no to that without getting involved, you see. Now, the same thing is true here of this question. You assume that if the Christians had taken the gospel to them, they would have been saved. May I say to you that men are lost today, not because of the fact that they have heard or not heard the gospel. Men are lost today because that's their natural state, and they have no desire to change it. Therefore, we are to conclude that if the gospel has not reached certain people and they die without hearing the gospel, they are lost not because they didn't hear the gospel. They are lost because they're sinners, and they are going to a place where actually they would not want to go to heaven. Today, it's merely an assumption to say these poor people are just crying out and wanting us to bring them the gospel and they want to be saved. That's not the picture. That's not the experience today. And anywhere that the gospel will be received, God will see to it that somebody takes the gospel there. I, of course, recently had called to my attention again the great revival that took place in the Hawaiian Islands, where multitudes were swept into the kingdom. Now, you read that story. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. Here was a Hawaiian boy escaping from one of the tribal wars named Bukia. Bukia was picked up by a sea captain, a very kind man. He took him to the United States, took him around to New England, Boston. And he actually wanted to get an education. They found him one morning weeping on the steps at Yale College at that time. And some Christian students found him, and they helped him, and they provided for him, and they did the greatest service for him. They led him to the Lord, and he became a Christian. He wanted to go back to the Hawaiian Islands as a missionary. And all of a sudden, though, in his preparation, he took sick and died. And was quite a shock. Samuel Mills, who'd been one of them that helped him, but a boy by the name of Bingham over at Andover volunteered, and 16 others with him. And these 17 set out for the Hawaiian Islands. Just think of that. But when they got there, the movement was slow. I mean by that, There were only just a few believers. Interesting enough, the royal family was reached. The high priestess was reached. Capolani, I guess, was her name. And what a wonderful thing it was. But it wasn't until about 1835, 1837, that Titus Cone, he went out and a revival broke out. And the greatest percentage since the days of Pentecost anywhere were swept into the kingdom. Well, now, how did it come about? Most unusual way. Well, you say that just almost seemed humanly impossible. It was humanly impossible. But you see, God knew the hearts of those natives out there, and God got the gospel to them. So that if there are people who will open their hearts, God will see to it they get the gospel. But men are not lost because the gospel didn't get to them. They are lost because that's their natural condition. That's the condition of all of us. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, a dead man doesn't want the gospel. A dead man, will he receive it? Only God knows. And God will see that it'll get to those that will receive it. No man in hell will ever be able to lift his voice and said, if you'd have got the gospel to me, I would have believed it. There'll not be one there like that.
We turn our attention now to another question. Some time ago, you discussed the various translations and versions of the Bible, but you failed to deal with the inspiration of the Scriptures. Could you please provide your insights on this issue?
Now, may I say, relative to this matter of different versions of the Bible, back of that stands the Word of God. And we believe that the inspired Word is the original text, and that it is without error and mistake, and that the words are inspired. We believe in the plenary verbal inspiration. Now, scholarship today, both conservative and liberal, have worked at this problem of ascertaining whether we have the literal text or not. And I believe that the conservative scholars, for the most part, have come to the conclusion, and this has come about after a great deal of study, that we today have a dependable text. Westcott and Hart made the statement concerning the Greek of the New Testament that only one word in 93 was ever in question, and always on a minor point, and there is not a doctrine of the Scripture that is under any question at all relative to the original text. So that you and I have in the authorized version certain changes, and that's the reason that we have suggested that you ought to have the American Standard Version. I don't think it's as beautiful as the authorized by any means, but I would say that it is probably more accurate, and therefore we have a dependable text you can rest upon, and we can say, thus saith the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it's God-breathed, and it's profitable. And it's profitable for many different reasons and for many different purposes. Actually, we are teaching on our Through the Bible program. We go through the Bible in 5 years. And why do we do that? Because we believe that it's all inspired. And a great many folk found out that when we went through Malachi, that it was just about the hottest issue that there is in the Word of God. I've had more letters on Malachi than any book that we've studied. And as one man wrote, he says, "Well, I didn't even know what the book was all about. I didn't realize that it was alive and dealt with living issues today." Well, that's true of all of it. And we believe that the entire Word of God should be studied. We don't believe in mouthing this today. I believe the Bible from cover to cover, and about the only part we're familiar with is the cover. We need to know what's between the cover and get that which is between the cover between our ears. And when you transfer it from between the covers to between our ears, then that is the thing that Paul says, study. To show yourself approved unto God. Now, the Word of God, therefore, is not a book that is miraculous in the sense that you don't have to study it or read it. a great many think if you carry it around under your arm on Sunday that it does something to you. And there was so much made during the war about a boy that had a New Testament in his breast pocket, and a bullet hit him there, and it didn't kill him. And I heard it told during the war several times by ministers, and they'd smile with satisfaction that, my, what the New Testament will do. Now, I'll be very frank with you. I don't think the Lord gave it to stop bullets. I don't think that was the purpose of it at all. It's to know what is in the New Testament. If you want to really stop bullets, get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. The telephone book would be a good book to stop bullets, but that's not the purpose of the Bible by any means. It wasn't given for that reason. And it's almost superstition to talk like that, that it stopped the bullet. The important thing is to know what the Word of God has to say. And we today need to get off of this side of trying to talk about the Bible. And we need to teach it and to know it. And that, by the way, is the purpose of our Through the Bible program.
Now, here's a question from a listener in College Corner, Ohio, who writes, would you please explain your view of Mary and Mary worship?
Well, let me say that I do not mind expressing my viewpoint on that. After all, the homage that's paid Mary is certainly not in the Word of God. She was never worshipped. It was said of her, blessed art thou among women, not above women. And she needed a Savior as anyone else did. You read her Magnificat. She makes it very clear she needed a Savior. And when she stood beneath the cross of her Son, she stood there as a sinner that needed a Savior, and He died for her also. But the important thing is, and I'll be very frank with you, I do not think that we ought to approve of this. That is certainly extra-biblical. It's not in the Word of God. We ought not to carry a club around and trying to club everyone that disagrees with us. Now, I believe that if we teach the Word of God, that we will bring people to a knowledge of the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that will have to lead people in this connection. Now, I think that to bow down before the image of Mary is wrong. In my judgment, it is wrong. But I don't think that I get anywhere by taking a club around, and many of my Catholic friends just club them on the head because they may want to club me on the head, and I don't want to be clubbed on the head. So I don't think that's the method. Now, I have a letter from San Diego, California, that illustrates what I'm talking about, because I'm not talking about a theory. Our method is to teach the Word of God, and we believe today that it's for men in all religions and all conditions of life, and the Word of God will have its way. Now, this letter from San Diego will illustrate what I mean. It says, in the midst of all our international and national turmoil and the conspicuous filth prevalent in the world today, it's a pleasure, a distinct pleasure indeed, to listen to your explanation of the sacred scriptures, which comes to me, and he mentions a station. As I sit and listen and learn, I am reminded of my very happy days in the seminary when I used to hear with pleasure lectures on sacred scripture. You are doing a marvelous job, Dr. McGee. Keep it up. Now, listen to the next paragraph. I have been a Catholic priest for almost 40 years. During these years, the Bible has been my chief interest. Now that I'm retired due to afflictions, it is still my chief interest, and Christ my life. You want to argue with that man? I don't. And probably he is a Christian just like I'm a Christian. And he probably would like to see me change, and I'd like to see him change. But someday we both are going to be changed, and that will be the greatest day of all. And before I leave that, because I'm always misunderstood in this connection, I want to say to you that I think that the system today of liberal Protestantism and the system of Romanism is entirely contrary to the Word of God. And I believe that they've all gone very far from the Word of God. But you're not going to get anywhere just to make an attack upon them. And my feeling is that's not what should be done. And I don't think I've been called to do that. I think I've been called to teach the Word of God. And the Spirit of God then will have to speak to people's hearts, and he'll have to keep the door open. He said he would. The Lord Jesus said, I've set before you an open door, no man can close it. So I'm just going to keep teaching the Word of God, friends, and my ministry is not a ministry of attack upon any of these. I'm sorry if you think that I ought to put on my boxing gloves and go to work.
Our final question today comes to us from a listener who writes, do you think that the church today is in the final apostasy?
Well, I want to say, first of all, I do not know whether we are in the final apostasy or not. I think we are. I can't believe it's going to get much worse than it is. Now, let's make some distinctions here and form some definitions. What do you mean when you say, is there apostasy today in the church? I'm sure that what you're thinking of is the local church that's down on the corner of Broadway or Main Street in your town, and the chances are that it is a denominational church. And at one time, the gospel was preached in that church and many were saved. Now, over the years, the major denominations have become liberal, and they have, to my judgment, departed into an apostasy. They departed from the truth. And also, in the meantime, God has raised up all over this nation of ours today churches that are Bible churches. And I wish some of the Bible churches had more Bible in them than they do. But they at least do not deny the inspiration of Scripture. They still preach the gospel that men are saved by faith in a Savior who was God manifest in the flesh, and that he died a substitutionary death for our sins, and he was bodily raised from the grave for our justification, and that he is our righteousness today, and we're saved today by grace. Now, these churches all stand for that, these Bible churches across the land. And God has raised up them so that today the division is not denominational division. The division today is between churches that are Bible churches who believe the Word of God and teach it, and those that are liberal. Now, it's been my privilege since I've retired to go across this country. And I think that I've had the privilege to be in every outstanding Bible church across this land, or at least I've had an invitation to be there and was unable to accept it. But the liberal churches just don't invite me. I don't know. They may not like my personality or the aftershave that I use, or I don't know, maybe I do have bad breath, but they never invite me. And irrespective of denomination, but also irrespective of denomination, I get into churches that are Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and actually Methodist churches and community churches and neighborhood churches. And all of these churches, though, that I go to are Bible churches. And I find out that's the great division. I feel at home today in these churches, any of them that I've been to. I felt very much at home. The fact that there might be a minor difference in doctrine has nothing to do with separation or broke down the fellowship that we had or the communication that we have. Now, there is an apostasy today, and that apostasy today is in the liberal church. And I could give quotation after quotation. they very frankly say they've given up the Bible. There are churches, I have quotation for two outstanding ministers in Washington, and both of them say that they no longer will argue with the fundamentalists about the virgin birth. They've passed that. They're not even interested in that. They're not even interested in Jesus today as such. He's just a figure for them. He's just more or less of an idol. It's just a cliche that they use today. Some of them don't even believe that he ever existed. Now, those churches are in an apostasy today. Now, that is what Paul spoke of when he wrote to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4:1, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth." Now, the thing that marks these churches that have gone off into an apostasy and that depart from the way of faith, that word is apohistomi, and we get our word apostasy. They probably at one time believed the Bible, and the interesting thing is that the creeds of all of the great denominations are really wonderful creeds, but they've long since, you see, departed from that. They've departed from the faith. Now, they have laid themselves wide open. And as a result, there has come into these churches today the tongues movement, for instance. And there has come in all kinds of things that appeal to the flesh and the seducing spirits, for instance. All kinds of deception. Now, it's these people today that are constantly going off into some cult or ism today. And actually, this is where demon worship began today, was in that segment of the visible church population. And to me, the worst hypocrisy that there is for a man who believes nothing to get into the pulpit and attempt to speak for God today when he doesn't even believe in God. That's hypocrisy of the worst kind, and the only thing that I can think that is bad is that, is the man who sits in the pew and pretends to be a Christian. He gives all the outward appearance of it. That is, he's very vocal. But this man has rejected Christ, rejected the Word of God. And today, his life out there in the business world, in the social world, does not commend the gospel, but actually turns people off from it. Now, that apostasy has begun, and I don't think that we're in the worst part of it yet. And I think it will finally, when the true church, that is, when real believers are removed from the church, and they're going to be taken out of most visible churches. However, I think there'll be some that it won't affect at all. The late Dr. George Gill used to say that some churches will meet the Sunday after the rapture, and they won't miss a member. They won't know anything happened at all. But most churches, even our liberal right now, have believers in them, real believers. But they are certainly not happy there. I have hundreds of letters that testify to that. So that we today have certainly entered the apostasy that is spoken of in the Word of God. Now, how much farther we have to go, I haven't the foggiest notion, because God didn't give me any dates.
We hope that some of your questions have been answered today. If not, we'd like to help you in your study of God's Word as you search the Scriptures for the answers to your questions. We'd like to send you one of our resource catalogs, which provides you with all the available material by Dr. McGee. Two items that you might think about in light of the last question are Dr. McGee's free e-booklets. One is The Amazing, Alarming, and Awful Apostasy, and then What Can Believers Do in Days of Apostasy? We'd also like to let you know that today's program is available on a single CD, or you can download an MP3 copy from our website. Every Monday through Friday, you can hear Dr. McGee on the Through the Bible radio program on this station. We'll be continuing his 5-year journey through the whole Word of God, book by book and chapter by chapter. And then we provide Dr. McGee's notes and outlines to anyone who asks to be on our mailing list. So if you're not receiving them, call us today. To reach our offices for more information about the resources we mentioned, ask for a catalog or request to be on that mailing list, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Do it Monday through Thursday from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific Time, or you can write to Questions and Answers in the U.S., Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or visit us online at www.ttb.org. Now, until this same time next week, we hope and pray that our God will answer all your questions and solve all your problems.
Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
This program's been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.